So today, actually, for us at Chatterton Community Church, kind of two important Christian teachings in the Bible come together. I suppose it might be what you might call a mashup. Have you heard of a mashup before? You often get it in music when two songs are kind of mashed together to make one song. And in some ways, today, I think, is a little bit of a mashup Sunday. And the mashup that I'm going to talk about today appears in the Bible, okay? So, for example, in the story of Nicodemus in John 3. Actually, as a church, we looked at this story a little bit a few weeks ago. This guy, this Pharisee, goes to see Jesus in the night. And we're told that he went to see Jesus in the night, I think, because he was looking for truth, really. He was looking for what was true. And as part of the conversation he had with Jesus, Jesus said these words to him. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And then the mashup also for me appears in Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, we read that Jesus himself was baptized, right, what we're doing today, in the River Jordan by his cousin John, after which we're told that the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And then just one more occasion, actually on the day of Pentecost itself, this day that we're thinking about today, when we said that the disciples in that upper room, a bit scared, a bit unsure, and then suddenly the power of God filled them up and they were sent out into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And Peter, one of the disciples, he stood up in front of a massive crowd of people and he said these words to them. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So today for me is a mashup of water and the Spirit, of water baptism and spirit baptism. We said already, we know, don't we, in a short while we're going to baptize 5 people from our church community in full immersion water, in the water. And here at Chatterton Community Church, like many other churches, we believe in adult baptism, not baptism or christening of children. This is because we believe that baptism should be a person's personal choice after they confess to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, to confess the faith of Jesus. It's a public declaration. It's a public declaration, but in many ways it's that outward sign of who a person now is, that they are in Christ, that they are a Christian, that they are a follower of Jesus, and they're letting people know that that is now who they are. The imagery of baptism is this, that as the person goes down into the water, it connects us to Jesus' death. But for us, it's not about physical death, it's about dying to self. But then as they come up out of the water, hopefully we can get them out of the water. What that does then is it connects us to Jesus' resurrection, that we are raised to new life in Christ. So we have this today, water baptisms will be part of our service. But like we said today, today is also Pentecost. It's the day we celebrate and give thanks for the Holy Spirit, for baptism in the Spirit. See, Christians believe that when you first become a Christian, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's Spirit comes and dwells within you. in our soul, if we want to call it that. But we believe, Christians, that that's not a one-off experience. See, we believe that the Holy Spirit, what this day we're celebrating, is an ongoing gift to God's people. And I was thinking to myself, how do I illustrate how this ongoing gift takes place? Well, today's a party, we said that, the church's birthday, and Pentecost is this church's celebration party. So I got me thinking a little bit about party games, the old party games that kids, I think, used to play. I'm not even sure they play this stuff anymore, these kind of old party games. Do you know, things like pin the tail on the donkey, or musical statues, or musical bumps, hide the thimble, you know. I don't know, kids don't do that anymore, do they? They just go to a play area, or they go to stuff like that. But, if we're honest, the all-time classic kids' party game has to be Pass the Parcel, hasn't it? Yeah. Now, we're not going to play Pass the Parcel, you know, but there are different Pass the Parcels, so I have to be careful which illustration I use. See, some Pass the Parcels happen like this. You pass the parcel round, the music stops, you take the paper off, but there's disappointment because it's not the last piece of paper. So the music starts up again and you continue passing, and eventually one person wins the prize in the middle. But that's not the best. See, I think the best Pass the Parcel is when you win a prize every time the music stops. And, you know, I know some of you will know this. A good Pass the Parcel organiser, even though they pretend not to be looking, will stop the parcel at least once on every child so that everybody gets something and in the end, no one ends up in tears. We know that some of you have been there. That, to me, is the best illustration for the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not just a one-off prize. The Holy Spirit has layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of gifts for everyone. And to help me to explain what some of these gifts are, just for a few minutes, I thought I'd just go back to the themes that we've been looking at in Thy Kingdom Come. Like I say, we've been doing this 10-day prayer journey, and we've been thinking about Thy Kingdom Come, and many of us have been looking at this journal every single day, and we based our prayer stations this week on Wednesday and Thursday on these themes of God, of the Holy Spirit. So I thought I'd use them as a reminder of some of the layers of gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to bring into our lives. I thought I'd use the pictures. We were using these pictures as well. This picture was the picture that represented the ascension. And you can see people looking into the sky. But the next picture was this. I thought I'd show you the pictures. If, for those of you who have not seen these, you've seen them in your journal or you saw them at the prayer stations if you were able to come. And for this one, it was to tell us, because each time the theme was entitled The God Who. And the first one was The God Who Loves. Because, you see, it's the Holy Spirit in our lives that continually affirms God's love in us. The Holy Spirit constantly wants to draw us closer into God's presence so that we can know his unconditional love that he has for us as his children. And in our prayer station, we said that as we understand God's love for us, it brings security to our lives, it brings comfort, and it brings assurance to us. The Holy Spirit helps us to know the God who loves us. The next one, because I haven't got loads of time today, I'll show you the next picture if I can. That was this was the picture that they used. And this was to represent the God who speaks to us. See, I think God likes us to talk to him. But sometimes we will need to be listeners of him. See, it's the Holy Spirit is God's inner voice inside of us. It's that gentle whisper. It's that nudge. It's that guide. And as a Christian, as they walk through life, I believe that God wants to speak into our lives. He wants to show us things. For example, when we're reading the Bible, he might just bring something alive. When we're singing a song, some of the truth of the song might just hit us home. When we're out for a walk in the countryside, the beauty of creation, God might just speak something into our lives. For me, I can do it often when I'm just watching a movie. And then the Holy Spirit just nudges me and says, "See, that's a good illustration of my love for you, or that's what I'm about in your life." See, it's the Holy Spirit in us that God speaks through into our lives. The next picture, and these are just the layers of the Holy Spirit, represented the God who creates. Because in Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit, it says, created order out of chaos. So in the creation story, when everything was a bit chaotic and dark and formless, we're told that it was the Holy Spirit that came and started to help create order out of chaos. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is still working, is still creating in people's lives today. The Holy Spirit is still bringing order out of chaos. He's still bringing, he's still creating new hearts. He's still transforming lives of people today. In our prayer station, for those that were here, we were reminded of the rainbow. Who did the little Skittles thing? Do you remember when we put the Skittles in the water and the colours came together a little bit like a rainbow? See, that's what God created. God created a rainbow to remind us that all his promises are yes and amen. We have a God who creates. The next picture, or the next layer, if you want to call it that, of the Holy Spirit was to remind us that we have a God who gives. You know, God, I believe, loves to give. I believe God loves to pour into our lives. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it just says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And in our prayer stations, we had sweets and chocolates and crisps, and people could taste them and remember that we have a God who loves to give generously, abundantly to those he calls his own. He is a kind giver. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we receive. That we receive God's goodness. That we receive God's fruits. That we receive God's gifts. That we receive so much more. It's through the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives that we can receive all the goodness that God wants to pour into our lives. The next picture was to remind people that we have a God who walks with us. You know, God's presence for a Christian is with them 24/7. And God's presence is with them 24/7 through the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 3 verse 5, it just says this. God says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My presence is with you. I will walk with you wherever you are going through." That is God's promise. And in our prayer station, we use the image of the Good Shepherd. Because it's a great image of God, isn't it? Because like a shepherd, God wants to protect us. He wants to lead us. And sometimes when we're really struggling, he'll pick us up and he'll carry us. I know Ernie really liked the poem of footprints, didn't you, Ernie, that you'd never seen before, and it reminded you that whatever you're going through, the Good Shepherd God will carry you, because that's what God is like. The next one, really quickly, another picture that represents was to remind us that we have a God who listens to us. Somebody once said that listening to a person is valuing a person. That's part of, in some ways, what we try and do as a church when we go onto our local precinct and we take our prayer flag and our prayer box and we try to say to people, is there a prayer? Is there something on your that you'd like us to pray for you as a church? Maybe something in the world or something in your life or somebody you know needs a prayer. And what we hope, part of what we're doing is we're showing them that we value them, that God values them. See, I think to God, every prayer, every size of prayer matters. Why? Because we matter to God. You matter to God. And your prayers matter to God. But what happens is as we pray, as we talk to God, then I believe that God responds and acts through our prayers through the Holy Spirit. God uses your prayers to move. Someone once said that when we pray, it moves the hand who moves the world, something like that. But when we pray, because your prayers matter to God, it's through the Holy Spirit that God works and answers our prayers. Lots of layers. I haven't got time for those tomorrow. This was representing the God who saves. I've got this right. Yeah, I have. We have a God who saves. Again, today we're going to celebrate that, aren't we, in this place? We're going to celebrate God's amazing saving grace through our baptisms. That's what we're celebrating. We're remembering that God saves lives. And it's the Holy Spirit, actually, that convicts a person, that calls a person, and that changes a person's life. And we're celebrating today that lives have been saved, that as people have been convicted by the cross, by Jesus' death on the cross for them, and as they felt that calling of God to be in a relationship with him, and as they've responded to that call that God would come and change their lives, we're going to celebrate that. Because we have a God who saves lives, who changes lives today. Two more, I think, very quickly. The next one, I like that picture. I like that picture of the kingfisher. This one was to represent the God who challenges us and encourages us. See, the Holy Spirit is sometimes called the comforter. But there's a tapestry called the Beirut tapestry. What's it called? Bayer tapestry, famous tapestry. Obviously, I'm very much into my art and stuff like that. But the Bayer tapestry, it's a battle scene, isn't it? Some of you will know a lot more about this. But in the battle scene, the king is there with his spear or whatever, his lance. And he's behind the troops like this with his lance. And some commentary on it says something like, the king comforts his troops. And actually, that's quite a good illustration for the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Holy Spirit sometimes does with us. He comforts those who belong to him. What I mean by that is he prods us and he challenges us and he encourages us. On our prayer stations, we use the story of Peter being called by Jesus to step out of the boat. Only a few people actually got in the boat. You know, not many of them, but they did. They got into our physical boat that we had here. To remind us that the Holy Spirit will often nudge us and prod us and comfort us to take steps of faith as his people. The Holy Spirit calls us on to go deeper into God. This one was to represent the fact that the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit is God's power in us. The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and me. Pretty cool, that, isn't it? You know that, when that blowing up the balloons, when the disciples were a bit flat at the beginning, and then God sent his power, he breathed his Holy Spirit into them, and they were empowered to go out into the world, to change the world for Jesus, that same power is available for those who belong to him now. And then this one was just actually the picture that represented this day, the day of Pentecost. The day that we believe that God sent his Holy Spirit on his disciples and then sent them out. And this is the same for us who would call ourselves Jesus' disciples today. We are sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are sent out to live and to serve and to be a witness for Christ in the world. And I want you to just go through those, partly because it was a reminder of what we've been doing in our church over this last period. But it's a reminder that God has this amazing gift. But it's not one gift for one person. It's for all who believe in him. God wants to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the gift that just keeps on giving. You know, it has layer upon layer upon layer, and I could go on and on and on. And some of you say, I know you could, but yeah, I'm glad that you're not. But like I've said already, this filling of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-off process. I believe God wants us to be filled again and again and again and again. You don't buy a new car, go and fill it up with petrol, drive it around, and then it runs out of petrol, and you think, oh, well, that's it then. But I think sometimes we do that as God's people. And the Bible says, no, you don't do that. Of course you don't. What you do is when you're getting a bit low, you go to the petrol station and you get it filled up again. So you can keep driving around and keep doing the things that you meant to do in the car. It's the same for us. God wants to pour his Holy Spirit. He wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit that we might be filled with him. But that sometimes we go a bit leaky and we drain a bit and we sort of get a bit flat. Then we go back again to receive the Holy Spirit. That's what we're thinking about today. That's what we're celebrating today. So that God can continue to bring his love into our lives. He can continue to empower us. He can continue to speak into our lives. He can continue to affirm that sense of his presence with us wherever we are. And all those different things and many much more. So I pray today that as we baptize people in water, and we'll celebrate that, which is biblical, we'll also, for all ourselves, be open to receive God's baptism of the Holy Spirit, his power in us, that we might be sent out to be his people in this world and to know him more in our lives. Amen. We're going to sing again, and then what we're going to do after we've sung, we're going to hear just from all the five people that are going to be baptized today. And we're going to just hear a little bit of their God story, not giving them a long time, a couple of minutes each, to tell us a little bit what Jesus means to them and why maybe they've come to this point today of baptism. But before we do that, celebrating today a Jesus who changes lives. A Jesus who's not just someone, a person of history, stuck 2,000 plus years ago. What we're celebrating today is a Jesus who is alive. And we can know his presence through his Holy Spirit, through his unseen power, his breath. We can know his presence today in our lives. And that's why as part of our baptism service, what I like to do is I like to just give an opportunity for all those that are going to be baptized just to say a little bit of something about their experience of Jesus. And some of them a bit nervous. It's not always easy standing up here in front of all these beautiful faces. But I think it's important that we hear just a little bit as we prepare to baptize them today. So I'm just going to ask them one at a time to come out, and I pray that they'll just share something of their story, and you'll notice that they're all different, and that's absolutely fine. We're celebrating, because you know what, there's no one way of coming to Jesus. You know, we can come from different directions, but eventually we get to the foot of the cross. And then how do we respond to the cross? And that's the question for us all. Let's ask Brenda. Come on, Brenda. You come and start us off. I've no particular order, but you were looking at me, so I'm gonna. You were listening to me. Thank you.
I feel really blessed to be here. I've been a Christian a long time, but coming here has been a change, an ongoing change, like David said. But when I was helping in Sunday school with the children aged 3 to 7, we used to always start off with a reminder of where Jesus is. It goes like this. Jesus goes before us, preparing the way. Jesus is behind us, helping us come what may. Jesus is beside us. He's here with us today. Jesus is always with us. Then we'd ask the children where Jesus was. The usual answer was, he's all around. But one child said, he's here. He's here in my heart. I just want to say to everyone, if you let Jesus into your heart, he will be with you in the good times, the bad times, and the very bad times. And when I was thinking about this morning, wondering whether this was the right thing to use, I looked at my lectio, and this was the psalm verse, Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One not to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. Just let him in and trust him. He's led me here today so that I just want to say the name of Jesus.
Where should we go? Come on, Christine. Come on. Come up. Come up here. Come and see us. Christine's going to be baptized today. Come on. Tell us just a little bit of your story. Come over here. And then we can just keep on.
If I told you everything, I'd be here all day, so I'd make it sweet and short for you guys. A few years ago, a lot of bad things happened to me. And cut that story short, I ended up losing my head and I ended up getting sectioned. When I come out of the ward, I went to Oldham and there were people preaching on the precinct. And I went up to them and I said to them, what can Jesus do for me? So they had a prayer with me and they said, go to church and see. I went. And he's brought my son back. I lost my son in care. And I was praying. And he said, don't give up hope because you're going to get your son back. You just got to fight. And when I was fighting, I felt like giving up at that point. I nearly lost my life because I did something stupid and then I committed suicide. But he just didn't want me to go. So for that reason, I will get baptized today because I feel like I owe my life to the Lord and Saviour for giving me another chance as a mother and another life with my son. Amen.
And not only has she got a son back, her son's getting baptized. Leon, are you? Come on, Leon. Come and say some. Come and share a little bit as well. I'm a little bit nervous, but this is Leon. This is Christine's son.
Well, go on. Yo. Where do I begin? Well, I was in foster care for like a few years, 8 years, something like that. I was a nuisance, wasn't the greatest kid. I also at that time, a question hit me, what is the meaning of life? I didn't know at that point, and then I was doing a CSCS course in Manchester, and there was a preacher on the corner, and he hit me with a question that I didn't know the answer to, which was, do you believe in God? So the first thing I said was no, because why is there so much pain and death in the world? But it's not God's fault. It determines ourselves. But you'll forgive me if I'm a bit nervous as well. And everything that I was looking into just pointed to Jesus. So I decided to open my heart to him. He gave me a new heart and a new life. And I've had a change of direction ever since. He's done everything for me. Not just blessings, but spiritually as well. He's restored my faith. I found the meaning of life, and I've come back to my mum. So I thank him every day for that, every day and night. And again, as my mum said, I owe my life to him too. So that's it, pretty much. So, yeah.
Thank you. Hey, come on.
When I was 14 years old, I got knocked down by a police car. But I was saved by the Lord, because I could have got killed, and he saved me. And before, I didn't know about Jesus then, till I came to this church. So that's why I'm following, that's why I want to be with him. And not that I feel like it's in my heart now, and I know I had small steps at first, no struggling, no believing in him, but now and again I started to believe, and now I want to get, that's why I want to get baptized, because I want to be with him, I want to follow him.
Cool. Oh, he's got some notes. Oh, hey, oh. Do you want the lectern?
I want to start by saying a massive thank you to everybody here at Chadderton Community Church for being part of my journey, my faith in God. I look around every week and I see everyone rejoicing in their faith, pushing our way forward and making life an enjoyment the way our Lord wants us to be. It feels very powerful to me. Does anyone here use sat-navs? I do now and again, but I end up watching the sat-nav instead of the road. You're probably wondering what sat-navs have to do with baptism. Well, when David asked me if I'd like to be baptized, it stopped me in my tracks. You see, my faith was on a nice scenic route on the road to finding God. I felt like I'd come to a crossroads with a sign, one pointing to nice scenic route to God, the other saying scenic route including baptism. Both roads were leading to where I wanted to go. There's no quick route to God. It's a lifetime of journey. Some ups, some downs. But as long as we follow God's words, what a lovely journey that comes. I've been through a few of life's experiences, And there's always been someone next to me on those experiences. I've been a victim of an hit-and-run driver at the age of 7. God was with me through that. I've been arrested and put in a police cell. God was with me again in that cell. It must have been because the police threw me out of the station saying I'm innocent. Plus, they had to let me go. They couldn't stop laughing whilst they interviewed me. That was a strange day. To be honest, I've been lucky in life and I've had more ups and downs in life. I've always been very grateful for my life that God gave me.
Different stories, different people, and that's the beauty of, for me, it's the beauty of God, really. He just welcomes anyone. If, you know, if you want to come, you come. Doesn't matter your background, your story, doesn't matter what you've done even, if you're willing to come, and you can, you know, in that response, we need to ask for God's forgiveness, we need to turn around and trust him for a new way of living. But his welcome is always there. His forgiveness is always towards us. His love is always towards us. And it's just great, great to celebrate that today with these people, isn't it? And thank you for coming and doing that. We're going to sing one more song appropriate to the baptism, and that's going to lead us into our baptism. If one or two still might, if you need to get changed, we do it in this song. And we're going to sing a song called Living Water. And then we're going to move into our baptisms. Baptized our 5 people today. Just want to read to you from Romans, just a few words from the Bible. And then what we're going to do is we're going to ask those that are going to be baptized, are going to make some promises, just affirming their faith. And then one at a time, we'll bring them up for baptism. When we do that, if you are come with them, close family, close friends, and you want to come forward a little bit to be around the area, then that's fine. For those that don't, please sort of stay seated where you are, and people can. We'll try and get people to see, make sure everyone can see while we do the baptisms as well. But I want to read you just a few verses from Romans, and I think they're appropriate to what we're about to witness today. It just says this: what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin, so we can live in it, so we do not live in it any longer. Or don't we know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we are certain also to be united in him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do this where they are. I'm going to ask the 5 people again to stand just where you are, so the people around you can hear your response. So just where you are, Michael and Jenny, do you want to just stand up there where you are? And we're going to just affirm these promises. So I'm going to say these promises, and I hope that you can just say after each one, I do. If that's all right, okay. So, are we ready? Do you acknowledge that there is one God, creator of the universe, who is sovereign over all? Do you acknowledge that through human sin, our relationship with God was broken, but through the sacrifice of Jesus, God's Son on the cross, the price was paid once and for all. Do you then confess your sin and ask for God's grace, forgiveness, unconditional love, and new life? Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Do you respond to his personal invitation to follow him to be a Christian? And finally, do you desire to love God with all your heart, strength, mind and soul and be an example for Christ both in his church and in the world? Amen. Round of applause. You can be seated. So we can unplug the heater now. We have been heating the pool. Well, here it is. So we can, we have, we've been trying, we're kind in this church. We didn't, you know, we wanted to make it a comfortable experience. So we can now, I'll take out the heater. There we go. Look at that, you see. All the mod cons nowadays. They didn't have this when Jesus went in the Jordan, did they? Eh? They didn't have this in the Jordan River. Fantastic. I'll empty that off. Amazing. I'm going to take this off because I forget, which is